Hi, welcome to another episode of A Big Girls Guys, a podcast. I'm your host, Jen PK, and I have with me the amazing Black Queen, Shalay Monique. How are you, Shalay?
I'm amazing. How are you?
I am fantastic. School is out for right now. It's a good time.
Out.
Shalay is an actress, a stuntwoman, a producer, a mother, an educator, and of course, a Black queen. How many kids you have?
I have two boys.
Oh my God, me too. How exciting.
Nice.
How old are you?
Raising Black kings. I have a 13-year-old, believe it or not, and a 12-year-old back to back.
Okay, mine are 2 years apart. I have a 19 and 17.
Okay.
So... And people always, it's funny, they'll always be like, oh, you're raising teenagers. It's got to be so crazy. And I'm like, no, not mine. I don't know what you're doing with yours, but not mine.
What y'all got going on is above me. I'm at my level with mine.
I was like, I like mine. Mine are my friends. I like to hang out with my kids. They're not stressing me out. Not like that.
Yeah.
You know, every once in a while, we got a little, did you do your homework? Let's get on it. Type situation, yeah. Turn the game off. But you know, turn the game off is not nearly as bad as what it could be. So
absolutely.
for the most part, it's like my son was like, he's my oldest one, it just finished, he's three classes away from his associate's degree, and he just finished the semester. And he had told me before he started, I'm going to get all A's this semester. I'm like, you don't have to, you know what I mean? Just like, don't stress yourself out about that. But he did it. And I'm like, good for you.
You're such an amazing mom. I love that.
Girl, so are you. Oh, so you got these two boys and you're teaching. What do you teach?
I teach eighth grade exceptional education.
Okay.
Kids with learning disabilities.
See, and it takes a special person.
Yes. Okay, because the apples don't fall far from the tree. Sometimes I'd be like, huh? Wait, hold on. Let me catch on to that. Okay, there we go. Let's reel it back in.
And that's more than a full-time job because, you know, teachers don't work in 40 hours.
Yeah, it's way more than a full-time job.
Even when you're on spring break, you're probably printing things, looking for lessons. Like, you can hardly sleep, not thinking about what the next week is going to hold.
Yeah.
And you're working with the exceptional needs children.
Mm-hmm.
That's an extra, and that's an extra set of paperwork.
Okay, let's talk about it. A whole extra, especially when they're virtual sometimes too. We have to really account for everything they're doing.
Oh, do you still have virtual kids?
Well, we do sometimes because when we're released from COVID or we have 2 weeks out or something like that.
Okay.
Because they have to quarantine.
See? That quarantine and something else.
Mm-hmm.
I had to do that a couple of times last year. And then yeah. When I got COVID, of course I had to quarantine. But when I got COVID, there was no teaching. I was out. I was just right. Not at work. That was
good for you. Cause I know teachers that they still like, oh, can you teach virtually still? Like, no, ma'am. No, ma'am.
When I had to be out because somebody else had COVID and I didn't get sick, then I taught virtually, you know, to do the quarantine situation. But when I actually got sick, no, I couldn't even breathe. Like, no, I'm not.
Well, I'm glad you are here to share your story and healthy and well.
Well, thank you. It was a lot. It was a lot. I don't want to go through it again. That's why I was contemplating whether I was going to go back into a school this year, this school year, because my son was like, so I was offered a kindergarten job and he was like,
germs. Yeah, especially now with the little one. Yeah.
Hug you. And they don't even have to wear masks here because, you know, I'm in Texas. So they don't even have to wear masks if they don't want to.
Wait, okay. The schools don't have to wear masks in Texas?
The governor just said no. The governor said you do what you
this
want.
This is, don't judge me on it. This is why I stay away from the news sometimes because that is too much.
I don't watch the news. I've said it multiple times. I stopped watching the news when I was pregnant with my first son. It was too terrifying and ridiculous. I was like, I'm not going to make it through this pregnancy with all this going on. If I need to hear something, it'll pop up on my Facebook.
Or your notifications on your phone.
Yeah, I don't need to watch it. I don't need to watch it at all. But yeah, Texas, do what they want. Where are you? Where are you located?
If you I'm in Atlanta.
Oh, I'm in a- so you're in Black LA. Yes. You're in Black Hollywood. Have you run up on any of the housewives ever? Or what's his name, Tyler Perry?
Yeah, it's people are out here. They're out here. We out here.
So Tyler, you'd like, would you be in a Tyler Perry film?
Herself, yeah.
Okay.
I respect his work.
Uh-huh. So she's, you know, you should check out Shelley Monique and get her hired on a good Tyler Perry movie. Girl, because Tyler Perry movies be like Lifetime movies and soap operas. Like, you get in, you're in all of them.
All of them, yeah. Well, he definitely creates a lot of opportunity for our people. So I really admire that about him.
He is a and billionaire.
There's some great talents on his shows.
Mm-hmm. I think anytime you can get Felicia Rashad to pop up in your stuff, you must be doing something right. Felicia Rashad's and everything, so
yeah.
I think once he could book her, that was it. So how did you go from teaching to acting?
So when I started going to school, I was a paraprofessional while I was going to school to become a teacher. And my first year, we had hiring layoffs. So everyone who was hired that year were laid off because of the budget and the funding. So what happened was, is that I was one of the people that were laid off. So I kind of didn't know what to do. And I went to church one Sunday and my pastor, Jamal Bryan, was like, you thought you were going to use that degree. You're going to do something that no one else in your family has ever done. And, you know, being out for the summer, I started trying to find out little free things to do to keep myself entertained. Mm-hmm. And there was a casting call for a character that that act like Cardi B. Now, Cardi B and I have the same birthday. Oh, so I said, you know what? I've never done anything acting. This might be fun. Let me go ahead and send him my picture and whatever else they asked. And he was like, oh, okay. I like your look for this character. Are you able to come to Newark? And I'm like, yeah, Newark was like 50 minutes from me. So I was like, okay, cool. And that was the first time I had to do a scene, but I didn't know that it was a fighting scene.
Oh no.
I'm like, how in the world do you fight on camera?
Like, you were ready to fight. Acting
was. Like, they don't have people that does this. Like, who does, like, so it was the first thing I ever did. And then ever since then, that film called Something in the Water went off to win like the Newark Independent Film Festival, Newark International Film Festival, excuse me. It was followed by Lorenz Tate, who hosted the festival that year. And then from there, so many people started asking me to be in their projects, and that's how I got started.
Wow, look at you. It just takes one. It just takes one moment, and then your life can just like blow up. How many projects would you say you've been in since you started?
14.
14.
I've been in 14 projects, excuse me. See, sometimes it's even hard to say out loud, like, God, thank you. So 14 projects so far, 1 year with COVID and the other year just learning the acting industry.
And when did you start? You said 1 year with COVID and what? So 2 years?
2019.
Wow. You just started, basically, and you were like a veteran already. Look at you.
No, I'm still learning and growing.
I've seen you on a red carpet, girl. That's all you have to do to impress me. I saw
you. That was a fun project. It was called Complicated. Very, very fun project. And another one I led called the Program. It's winning so many film festivals. It was one of my first lead roles in a short. From a poet. It highlights domestic violence issues in America, in our culture. And it's winning so many festivals right now, which I'm really excited about.
It's got all kinds of talent in it. I know it's got at least one talented actress in it. Oh my God. Oh,
thank you.
Look at you. You're going to be, what award show did I see you go to recently?
The BET Awards.
The BET Awards. I thought I saw you somewhere. Okay.
Yes, I was invited to the BET Award. It was amazing. I got to sit next to so many amazing people like Fat Joe and Remy Ma and Papoose and Hitman Holler. And it was just so many amazing people there. And just to be amongst them was just amazing.
Isn't it crazy how the next time you go, it's going to be to walk up on stage and get your award?
Okay. Talk to me nice.
So next time you go there, it's going to be because it's for you. And we're going to get the same. And nominated for Best Actress, Chelle Monique. Yeah.
And I want to thank my mom and my dad and most of all, God.
You already practiced your speech? You have a speech?
Already. I know what my son's going to wear and everything.
Okay. You've been practicing your autograph? You've been giving out your autograph?
Now that, they just going to have to get what they're going to get. Because
when I was
time I'm done teaching, I'm done writing, I'm done all of it.
You have to get a stamp. That's what my nephew said. My nephew is a singer, and he said when he gets big, he's gonna get a stamp. He said, "I'm sorry, my handwriting is trash. I'm just get my
and I'm gonna send it with love."
He's like, "It's not a slight. This is what everybody gets." That's so funny. I found a journal of mine from when I would think it was in high school or middle school, and I was practicing my signature, how I was gonna sign people's autographs.
That's probably something. I have pretty good handwriting. I just never really liked writing like my signature on anything, like signing anything. It's always like, all right, we're done. Done. Like, I just do it so.
I think everybody's signature looks like a doctor wrote it. Like, it's not. My signature is not legible. It's like a big J and then something. Like, that's it. Dribbles. That's so funny. So you said your pastor was Jamal Bryant?
Yes.
Like that one, like Real Housewives of Potomac, Jamal Bryant?
Is he
was married to this Giselle Bryant?
Jamal Bryant?
New was Bryant? He married to Giselle Bryant? Ooh, from Real Housewives of Potomac?
I don't know any reality shows. I'm sorry. Much respect to reality actors.
I just started watching it this year. Or like when I got COVID, I watched like all of them. And then I just kept watching it. And I think that was her ex-husband's name. So that, I was like, oh, look, he's got a big, big church. Like 15,000 people, something ridiculous. He's looking it up.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. That's,
well. Jamal.
We just learned something new today about Pastor Bryant. Okay.
Okay. Well, there he goes.
There he goes. That's so funny. That is so funny. Because you'll be on that reality TV. You don't have to be on there. You're just actress.
She's beautiful.
Yeah.
What is it? Real Housewives of
Potomac. It's over like the Washington, D.C. one, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would have never known. I don't know any reality shows. I recently did something with Lisa Wu. I think she's on The Real Housewives. Her husband's Keith Sweat.
She was on The Real Housewives of something one time. I don't know if she's on there now. I never got into The Real Housewives of Atlanta. I tried to because I would see NeNe Leakes do things and she would make me laugh. So I was like, I'm going to go back and watch the show. But I couldn't. I'd be starting shows from the first season and I was struggling getting through the first season to get to wherever it is. Because I've seen her like on sitcoms and stuff.
I've never really watched any reality TV shows ever. I don't really, honestly, that's what I said, the time into the acting world was kind of like wild to me because I don't really watch a whole lot of shows per se. Like, I like movies.
Mm-hmm.
I like movies a lot. And in the recent years, I've been binge watching shows and catching up on things that I have never seen that people have been talking about.
What's the latest thing you binge watch to catch up with the rest of us?
Ooh, the Kevin Hart show, the new one.
His movie, True Story?
True Story. This is a series.
Is that it a series? I thought it was a movie. I haven't watched it.
No, that is amazing. Will Catlett. I love him. Amazing. That show is amazing. I watched Squid Game because my son.
Which one?
Squid Games. He was like
Squid Games. Yes,
we need to watch this. I wound up watching that. Games people play because I met Saranis Jones. Saranis, he's one of the main characters in there. I met him at the BET Awards. So I said, oh, let me make sure I catch up on your show. So yeah, I'm starting to dive into shows and things like that, especially as I'm in the world, acting world, catching up on shows and things like that and staying on top of it.
Do you have any big influences, like actors and actresses, yeah, or directors or producers that really like get to you, make you want to do it?
Yeah, Tasha Smith for one. Tasha Smith. First of all, she's from my hometown. She's from New Jersey, yeah, my home state. She's from the county over. And I love the fact that she's directing and producing and she's just doing everything. And then when she wants to act, she can. Like, yeah, it's like, okay, I have this background of acting and I'm phenomenal at it. And then I have this background in directing and I'm phenomenal at it. And I have this background in producing and I'm phenomenal at it. And I can pick any of them up when I want to use them. So I think that's amazing. Will Catlett, his spirit is just out of this world. I love him and his wife. They're amazing. I'm in their coaching program as well. Twinkie Bird, she's one of my favorite casting directors. I love her passion for the arts and Black people. Love it. There's so many people. Chantel Marie, Stephen St. Pierre, like all these people that are like up and coming actors and filmmakers are just, I'm loving everyone's journey. Let's just say that.
Yeah. We are loving your journey too. I met you, speaking of Tasha Smith, I met you at the TESOL. I decided to take an online acting class with my best friend who was actually in a movie with Tasha Smith, which is so funny. She was in The Long Shots with Ice Cube and Keke Palmer.
Oh.
She played her coworker. She was another waitress. So it's like some, she always tells me like, if you buy the DVD, some of my lines are there. And I was like, I remember you having lines and I took screenshots. You were in there. I saw you and you had some lines, but that was a cool experience. I remember when she was filming that, but we decided to take, I was looking for something to do because I was kind of in a transition from last school year to figuring out if I wanted to go back to working in a school this school year. And I was like, acting is something I've wanted to do since I was a child. So I was like, I'm going to take this class. I'm going to invest this amount of money and just see how it goes. And that's where I met you.
Yeah, I'm glad we met. You're so freaking funny. You're hilarious.
You're so talented. Like, I was so intimidated. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to turn this camera off. Ah. Like, Shelley, show us how to do it. Okay.
Stop.
We just knew it was gonna be good, so we just watch it and then they'd be like, oh, your scene is up next, and I'm like, it's okay.
No.
It's okay, just let Shelley do another one. It's okay.
No, I used to love your scene. You're so funny. So you're so natural at it, but that's what happens when you have a seed planted in you because you have it right. So for me, this is all new to me. So like, I feel intimidated by people around me sometimes. Like, I'm like, oh, look how great they are. I got a lot to learn, you know? So I think everybody looks at their situation in the other person's perspective.
Yeah, because I could have sworn you've been doing it for like 50 years or something. I was just, you know, Larry B. Scott was our instructor.
Hey, Larry.
And he was talking about, like, he was your biggest fan. He was like, Shelley, why don't you do this? That's like, show us how I to love do it.
Show us. Well, you know what it character. Is too, because I've been there for a year, so I really like. You know, once classes start off, everyone starts, and then it kind of trickles off. But yeah. I made sure that I stayed for the year, and made sure that I got everything I needed to learn. And I stepped back a couple months now because I wanted to invest in other things, such as I have a TV series that I wrote, and I've been putting a lot of time and money into it. It's called Journey's Revenge. It has 100% selection rate on Film Freeway, so it has won every film festival that I've submitted it to so far. God is good.
Look at you.
Yeah, so I've been invested in that. So January, though, my Christmas present to myself is to get myself back into classes and to like evenly shift things now I got that out. Now it's back to investing in my acting. So
are you looking more to go back to that class, or are there other kind of classes that you're looking into?
Yes, I'm definitely going back to class. I think I'm going to do Miss Carnetta's class. I love her. And then I'm also taking some mastering the audition technique classes at the Congo mm-hmm. Theater in Chicago, virtual. So because I really want to work on self-taping as well. So yeah, those are my new classes. I keep myself involved in classes. So the last couple months I was in classes on how to write scripts and how to create a series and a show Bible and all those wonderful things.
Nice. So did the shift from, you were from New Jersey, right? So mm-hmm. did the shift from New Jersey to Atlanta have to do with your acting, or was that just anything?
Yeah. God was like, all right, sis, I need you to come up out your comfort zone. And literally I got a call at 8 o'clock at night, like, hey, you applied for a teaching job here in Atlanta a couple of years ago, and we're looking for teachers. And I'm like, what?
Wow.
Check my phone. I mean, I said, you're calling from what? She's like, yeah, you applied a couple of years ago before we, you know, before your application becomes, what is it called? I guess when it expires, mm-hmm. we wanted to offer a position out here, and it will start in 2 months. And I said, okay. So I literally took the job, and I said, well, you know, I don't know like where to live out there. I don't know the environment. I don't know where I'm going. And she was mm-hmm. like, oh, when I moved, this is the apartment complex I moved to. So she wound up giving the name of the apartment. She went down to the apartments, told them that I was coming. They didn't make me pay a security deposit or anything. Literally just my first month rent. And that was it.
Wow. Look at you. It was meant to be. That's what that was.
Yes, I'm learning here. And I do, however, I get homesick a lot. And I'm really thinking about going back home only because New York is a great market as well. Mm-hmm. And I got the experience here, I got the training and knowing what this market feels like, but a lot of the roles that I see myself playing in are based out of New York.
Okay. Because you guys, okay, so you had the Cardi B, that was in New Jersey, right? So you've got that whole like New York, New Jersey.
I'm like a stunt woman too, so I really want to do like crime shows like Law and Order, Blue Bloods, like all those type of shows.
You ready to fight now?
Power Book. I definitely want to do some shows that deal with stunts and fighting and SWAT and all those things. And those are a lot in New York. So I'm debating if I want to go home, but we'll see.
Your boy is ready to go home too?
No. They like it. They do miss their friends and stuff. Like, we have a big family. Like, I have like 52. I'm gonna round that up. But yes, I'm pretty sure it's 52 first cousins.
Wow.
There's a lot of us. So they miss their cousins and stuff. But other than that, they're enjoying themselves here.
Okay. But they'll enjoy themselves when they go back to. They can always come visit Atlanta or go to college in Atlanta whenever they get through and get to, whenever they get through with a regular school. And
a lot of stuff I shot has been, like, I just recently wrapped a project in Baltimore. So, like, a lot of stuff that I'm doing is there, too. I just think that God put me here so that I can learn and grow and experience and just take a leap of faith, because things have happened amazing here. But I'm finding myself going home a lot for projects.
Mm-hmm. You feel a pull back home?
Yeah.
I mean, hey, look. You know, go where you feel pulled, go where you feel inclined.
I think I'm gonna go do LA for a year or two too.
Okay.
LA is just so expensive.
It is so expensive. I've been contemplating a move to California for a long time. I told my boys if they apply to colleges out there, then I'll just follow them. Then they can live at college and I will live, you know, nearby or whatever, because that's somewhere I've wanted to move for a while. I used to want to live in New York for like a really long time, and I visited and I enjoyed it. Cold. It was the most fun. It was very fun, but I don't know, like, because I'm less theater and more, even though I'm always in theater for some reason. I'm always in theater for some reason, like that's where I just
like that for you.
And I wrote a play, so I'm always working with that, and I've had it produced a couple times, so that's fun. But we're gonna turn it into a movie, and I always wanted to do acting on TV. Like, TV is like my thing. TV and movies is where I wanted to go. I didn't want to do a bunch of like musicals and on stage stuff, though I enjoyed the times that I have acted on stage before. But LA has been a pull, but it's very expensive. So I've been like contemplating moving to Arizona, where I have some friends. A friend of mine who's a comedian that I used to work with a long time ago, and he does a lot of comedy out there. So I thought about moving out to where he is and being, you know, it's a little bit cheaper, but closer to California than Texas is. So we'll see. I don't know. I'm not as brave as you. You're so brave.
I pray for your journey.
I've been wanting everything to be brave.
Because guess what? If you don't be brave, then you're going to say, I should have, would have, could have. And like, it just showed me, like, I'm literally here by myself with my two sons, literally. So it's almost like, wow, you did it. So there's not much that I feel like I can't do.
Mm-hmm. I feel that. I always feel like I need to be set up. I'm like, where am I going to live? Where am I going to stay? Where am I going to work?
Yeah. You know, when it's for you, it'll happen for you, and it just starts happening. Like when I moved here, I didn't kind of know where I was gonna live and be and all of that wonderful things. And I moved here July 2020. Mm-hmm. So it'll be, geez, time flies. It'll almost be 2 years coming up soon. And like literally, I didn't even buy any furniture or anything. I was like, oh, I'm not staying, I'm just gonna come here and do some work and learn the industry. And then I wound up starting to buy furniture, buy little things, and come home. And everything is just working out. I've done a lot. I forgot. I did a Lifetime Movie Network film.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And what happened was I had a detective role, and it was under 5 lines, which still is okay. Because to be honest, one of the things I loved about it is that being one of the only Black people on the set, because it shows me that when a space is for you, it's for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of feels good to be that one little different piece to the puzzle, right? So like being the only Black girl in there, it's like, oh, this is amazing. Like so many people, like, it just felt good to be in that space, because it makes you feel like you're in a space where you're not normally supposed to be, should I say?
I get it.
Yeah, so whatever case may be.
They needed you.
It's a feeling kind of like I can explain it, but I'd rather show you more than I can explain it. Like my body language, my tone, how I walked into the space and said, I belong here. That's what I felt like.
You owned the room when you walked in. Yes, ma'am.
Come on. So it was like an amazing feeling to be in that space. And what happened was during the editing process, my scene was cut. But they still included me, like you could see me, like you had a little cameo where I walked past and I caught eye contact with the main character. And that, you know what I mean? So I was in I do have a clip from that project. So the casting director wound up sending me another audition and was like, I would love for you to audition for this role. And I'm thinking like, okay, cool. The fact of it is that she trusts me, right? Because this is the second time. And I booked it, and it's a teacher role, and it's an important part to the story, which I'm a teacher, and this part is important to the story because it, you know, it's an important role to keep the story going. So I know for a fact they're not going to cut this one.
Yeah,
the way she explained to me, she's like, it's not going to be cut.
Look at you. Girl, you are living my dream right now. I literally tell people all the time, I want to be in a Lifetime movie so bad. I'm obsessed. Like just in the last year, I never watched that like girly stuff. Like I never watched that kind of stuff. And then just in the last year, I was like, that's all, like that's what I'd be doing. If I'm not doing, you know, homework because I'm in a grad school, if I'm not working.
Are you in grad school? Wow.
All the time. Always in grad school. But when I'm not doing that, I'll be watching Lifetime movies sometimes at the same time. What Lifetime movie are you in? Can you say what Lifetime movies you're in?
A Professor's Vengeance.
I'm right to that. Oh my God, I feel like I almost watched that one. Yeah, I have the app. A Professor's Vengeance. Is that the one that's like a lot of you, or the one where you just like, we can see you?
You're just gonna see me walk. You're just gonna see me make contact with the lead character, because my original scene, me and her, I didn't trust her. And basically I tell her, like, I don't trust you. So when I'm walking out with the dead body. I look at her like, yeah, I know it's you.
Do we get to see that though? We get to see you looking at her crazy? Yes. Okay. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it today. So, I'm writing it down. Yeah. I'm going to watch it today. I'm so excited.
And this one is a Christmas movie. So I'm pretty sure, and it shoots January 8th. So I'm pretty sure that this Christmas movie won't come out till next year unless they have a expedited editing session.
Wow. And that means when it's the Christmas one, they're gonna be playing it all the time. That's one good thing about Lifetime movies, is like it's just like repetitive. So you're gonna be on there like BET. Like it's gonna be there like every residuals. Weekend. Be like...
Or speaking of residuals, I did a ESPN Ram commercial. I'm excited to see what those residuals look like.
Okay. Yes, checks. Did you join a union or are you just gonna?
I am SAG-E right now. I do want to join the union. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure because Atlanta is a non-union work state. So I'm not really sure if I want to put $3,000 in, because I do also have some other things that I'm working on as far as my film, my TV series that I'm doing. So we'll see.
And your TV series was what, Journeys?
Journey's Revenge.
Journey's Revenge. I've seen it on Instagram. That is so cool. Yeah, that is so cool. Exciting. What are your ultimate goals? Like, where do you see yourself, let's say, in 5 years?
In 5 years, I definitely see myself winning an Emmy.
Yes.
Definitely see myself living in California. Definitely see my boys having outreach programs where they're giving out clothes and resources for the, because you know what I like is that, well, what I want to do, I do a lot of philanthropy work with students and youth, and a lot of times we cater to the younger kids. I want to start doing kids stuff for the older kids and teenagers. So right now I have my sons, like all their clothes that they don't wear that's gently used. I just like, hey, find kids that are being bullied in school and give them the clothes, or every sneaker that they wore like twice and they can't fit it. So I'm like, give it to somebody. And they're like, we can sell it. No, give it to the kid that's being bullied. Give it to the kid that doesn't have anything in your grade. Because we're always, we seem to cater a lot to the younger kids. Mm-hmm. Like even like foster kids, you know, when you're adopting them, it's always the little kids. What about the older kids, you know?
Yeah, so, they don't adopt the 16, 17 year olds. They're about to graduate. Yeah.
Yeah, I wanna feed into that community.
That is so sweet. Look at you. I saw that you were a philanthropist and you got recognized for that. What was that that you did?
Oh, with my first check that I got from acting, because I'm from Willingboro, so it's a small town outside of Trenton, and we're like an hour and a half from New York and like 30 minutes from Philadelphia. And there's there's not a whole lot of like acting schools and stuff like that in New Jersey. Parents would have to take their kids all the way to New York or Philly. And there's a lot of single moms and single parent homes where I live, where parents have to work two jobs to maintain. And I was like, that's why their kids can't get involved in those things, because how can we manage taking them to New York or Philly all the time for acting classes and things like that? Mm-hmm. This was before virtual came about. So I opened an acting school for the youth for free. And it just introduced them into the acting world and get them, you know, acclimated to what acting is and the terms and technology and things that are needed in the entertainment industry, and just to spark their interest in acting and performing. So
that is so cool. You started a whole school. Look at you.
Yeah, it's called Doe Academy.
Oh, okay.
For defying all odds. And sometimes our odds are stacked upon us, but I always feed into our community. I wind up connecting them with mentors who had the same dreams as passions as them. And they wind up talking to them and hosting little classes and workshops with them. And that was amazing.
Okay, Black Queen, see? Okay. More than earned your crown and your wings. Okay. You would get along so well with my best friend, Sharan, because that's the kind of stuff she does. She started a nonprofit 13 years ago. That I've worked with called DBA Productions, and that's a performing arts organization. They had a full season, but we did like educational outreach, community outreach, and she works a lot with the youth and got them built up, helps them get, you know, acting jobs if that's what they want to do, or any other you know, parts of entertainment that they want to work on, mm-hmm. and sometimes non-entertainment things that they want to do. So that, yeah, okay, I'm surrounded by all these good hearts. That is amazing. That takes somebody with a real good heart, especially to give up your first acting check, because usually people will be like, yes, money, cash it,
yeah,
maybe put it in a frame, but you're like, I'm going to give it back to my community. That's amazing.
Yeah, I want to constantly give stuff back to the community, because I feel like that's what it takes. It takes for someone to keep pouring back into their community. Like, I have big goals once I get to where I'm going, and the income, I want to do so many things in my town. Like, I want to do so much.
Oh my God, people are going to be talking about you like they talk about Denzel Washington. Yes. Okay.
I want to revamp the school system. I want to pour, like, you know, like we have, like, I think it's a time where I come from, my community is so artistically talented. Like, we have people with Grammys and Emmys and Oscars and football players. We have so many people come out of our small town, but we're not facilitating these things in our schools. Parents have to double over and break their backs to get their kids, which we do normally as parents anyway. But what if we don't have the traditional art class? What other specials do they have? Gym? Like, what if we have, like, different specials, like music and screenplay writing and, like, arts, like real arts in our school, and we're fostering these things while they're young in regular public schools?
Because a lot of times they take a lot of arts out of school. So it's like they have, you know, in high school and middle school, you can get theater and, you know, visual arts. You can get music, sometimes tech. Because I went.
Yeah, you gotta wait until you get to high school.
High school I went to. We had a media. We had media art. I was in theater and band and choir, but I know that there was like a media arts program for those, you know, the AV kids, the ones that wanted to do the behind the scenes situations.
Yeah, so like I want to have like real music studio. Like, my goal is to build a music studio in my home school, so that the kids are able to like make beats and sing over beats and like really make music and stuff like that, not just come to art class, sit down and learn about art. Music. I want them to actually physically be able to do those things outside of playing instruments. Instruments aren't for everybody. Like, let's talk about making beats. Let's talk about composing music. Let's talk about audio, like, you know, audio engineering. Like, I want to do all those things.
Okay, I see. Look at you, about to change the whole school system, make school fun. Make school fun, make kids want to stay in school and give them something to look forward
especially
to,
especially in urban areas.
Yeah, because there's always kids like, go ahead, I'm sorry,
by eighth grade it's like they're done, they don't have nothing interesting in school besides seeing their friends.
Yeah, these days I don't know what it was like for you growing in high school. I know that my children's high school experience was nothing like my high school experience. Of course, I wouldn't want to go back to high school. Like, it wasn't great, but I know that there was more stuff going on. It was the stuff, it was closer to what you see in a movie when they talk about going to high school than my children's high school experience. It was kind of like, meh. The teachers aren't really interested. The kids aren't really interested. Nobody's really that interested.
Right.
The whole thing.
Right. No one's, they're just not interested anymore.
No, not at all. And that's good. I've never heard of a program that allowed kids to do like hip hop music or, you know, any kind of music where you use like electronic instruments versus, you know, traditional instruments. Of course, as a band nerd, I love traditional instruments.
Band is great.
That
is cool. But what about those kids that don't want to play the band?
What but about
they like
kids?
They like music. You get what I'm saying? Right. Like, I think that they should make it well rounded, because the band kids get to leave and go to band. But what happens to the kids that want to compose music or want to, you know, there's so many things in the, like, I would love to start having kids put music over lesson plans or slideshows in the classroom. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like,
contributing to the
contributed to the classroom with their art. So definitely want to open up something like that into schools and not make it like a private or chartered school entity just in your school.
Yeah, there's a lot that a private or a charter school might do that a public school won't have that opportunity for. So it would be nice for those kids to go to public school to get all those same advantages. Definitely. Yeah, the school system got a lot. It's got a lot going on. And also sometimes nothing. And my mom would be so mad at me right now. She's like, you're not a teacher. You can't talk like that.
Nothing. There's nothing going on for those kids. I think that's what makes it harder for me. Besides, when you're not working in your purpose or your passion, working a job becomes harder and harder and harder and harder. Like, I literally be ready to lose my job over 10 extra minutes of sleep because I am literally up all night, because by the time I get home from working, I have to like literally take a cup, like a little bit to just like decompress and stop, then jump into my arts. And like when I'm in my arts, I'm excited and I'm like writing and I'm studying and I'm auditioning. And then I look at the time and it's 2 a.m. and I have to be up at 5 o'clock. So
it is hard.
My job over 10 extra minutes of sleep.
Girl, I'm not a morning person. I know. Mm-hmm. I understand. It would be nice for kids to feel that, to get that validation young that arts is okay. Because I think that a lot of us, especially those who don't necessarily come from money or anything like that, you know, because parents, even if they have a lot of money, even if they don't put a lot of emotion into kids, sometimes they will put a lot of money behind those kids, and then those kids will go on to do these things that other kids can't afford. Where some of us, you know, we might get a lot of emotion. Like, I'm not going to say my parents were great, so, you know, but they didn't have the money to pour into me to do the things, so they would more like me to do something normal or regular. So you don't get exposed to as many things as you could if they were readily available. So that's amazing. So that those kids can feel validated that yes, you can make a living in the arts. Cause obviously we're watching people on TV. We're listening to music. Somebody's making money.
Somebody's getting the coins.
Throwing some music management classes for the next Barry Gordy, next Quincy Jones. They might be the ones that find the talent.
They
just got that ear. And they're like, I can't do anything with that information. I was like, I should be a casting director. I'd be casting people all the time. But there might be some little kid right now who's like, you know who'd be good in a movie? Sherry Shepherd.
Right. I do that a lot.
I want to put them together.
I do that a lot with my students. Like, I give them casting calls and things like that. So
that's
some of the ones that like play around a lot in class. I'm like, you're great. Like, this is fun and this is cool, but I need you to put it in a different way. So I'll send them like background acting jobs and stuff like that. I have a couple kids that have done commercials. Like, I have a couple kids who actually booked in. Another kid, he's a behavior student. He booked the Colin in Black and White. He was one of the basketball players in there. Non-speaking, just playing the basketball. So
still. Yeah. He's on Netflix. That's crazy. Yeah. Okay, look at you. Okay. Look at you, Miss Monique, spreading it around. There are some lucky kids to have met such an amazing teacher, and you're in that space.
Oh, thank you.
And while you're pursuing your own dreams, but you're still in that space to spread it to the right people. That's amazing.
They keep up with me. They put me in terms of, all right, I saw you doing this and this and that, but okay. I see. Thank you. They tell me more about myself than I tell myself.
they are your fans.
I love it though.
That is so great. So the name of your episode is A Big Girl's Guide to Playing It Smart and Mastering the Game, which it seems like that's what you are doing. You've been playing it real smart and you are mastering this game. That's how we know that next year's red carpet will be walking you up to get your award.
From your mouth to God's ears. And I hope they big God. I ain't trying to talk about you, but I'm sure you got dumbo ears.
This is what I'm good at though. People, if I tell people, like I don't play with people's talent. I always know when people are going to do every person I've told, like, you have something or I've invested some sort of like, because I don't necessarily have money to invest in you, but like I'm sharing your things or, you know, people
who's money.
I started their Facebook pages for them because they didn't have any social media backing them up. Those people are out there doing some stuff. So I know.
That's a blessing.
I know who's good. So I know it's going to be you. You next. And you picked, of all the rules, a big big girl rule number 323, thou shalt not sext. Why'd you pick that one? You don't want us to be sexting. You got to protect your image. You're about to be famous.
But no, thou shalt not sext. I do think you should sext.
You do?
I do. And I kind of wanted to pick your brain on why you chose thou shalt not sext. Like, why not?
Sometimes you just shouldn't. Don't want all your, definitely don't include your face. Well, I was thinking you picked it. I was thinking you picked it because you're about to be famous. So you can have your stuff all out there where people have these revenge photos of you.
And then guess what? I did it. Yep. It was me.
It was me and I looked amazing. Okay.
And if I didn't, you was gonna get what you got. So I chose that one because it kind of like, I wanted to pick your brain of why, with the topic, why is sexting? I think that, for me, I think that a little sexting here and there is a fun way to mix things up in your relationships. And it just has to have rules.
Okay, what are those rules?
You definitely have to have rules. So rule number one, of course, will always ask for consent.
Mm-hmm.
So like, is it okay if I send you something? Don't just be sending a little tally wagon through my phone. Like,
yes, that's very disturbing.
Yeah, it's like, just don't just send me, nothing just out of nowhere. No. Like, is it okay for me to send you something? Then just because I said yes one time doesn't mean that that's just going to be a norm. Like, we have to set norms and expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see what else I put. Boundaries. You have to have boundaries. So if I send you this of me, you will not get my face in it.
Mm-hmm.
If I send you this, I'm going to trust that this is between us. And do you respect me enough? And have we established enough boundaries where I can trust you?
Mm-hmm.
And sexting doesn't always have to be like nude pictures and videos and stuff like that. Sexting can be like, you know, dinner's ready, but it ain't the normal dinner. I'll be on the table. Right? It could be things like that. And I just think that it's a fun way to like communicate. I was just talking to my friend earlier today, and I was saying that sometimes we get so caught up in the dating world, because the dating world is hard.
Mm-hmm.
It really is hard to date. And because we get stopped at, what you doing? How was your day?
Yeah.
Where else is our conversations going through text messages? Like, how do we make our conversations interesting? And everything doesn't have to be about sex. However, we can add some fun and spark with conversations that lead to more sexual expression.
Some guys like to start off with that stuff, and I think that's the biggest problem. It's like they go from "Hi, how are you doing?" to "Meet my little friend," and I'm like, "No, thank you. It's okay. Like, that's not what I came for." You can keep that totally to yourself.
And that's why you have to send consent. Like, and then you have to know boundaries too. You have to be like, hey, are we there yet in our conversation, in our process?
How do you know when you're there? How long you had to be talking to somebody before he sends you a picture of yourself, you send a picture of yourself, and you're not like, mm-mm.
No, I think it just goes by vibes. Like, where are y'all at? Like, establishing, what are y'all doing? Like, are we just getting to know each other? Are we having fun? Are we talking about, like, what are your intentions here?
Mm-hmm.
And then two, like, I think it just flows. And I think the most important thing is like, hey, do you mind if we spice it up and I send you something?
Yeah, ask first.
Like, I think that is where it transitions. And then, but you do have to say, but listen, I'm sending this, but this is not a norm. Like, our norm will be, can you respectfully say, I'm going to send you something really quick. And if I say, no, not today, then you have to respect that. You know what I mean? No, not right now. But ask me every time. And you can find fun, creative ways to ask someone to send something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
See, my whole thing, though, is like, at what point are we going to stop asking for pictures like that?
Mm.
Like, do you get what I'm saying? Like, is there like an age get, like, we're too old to be doing this? Or that was just a random question, or is it like, I don't know, what do you think?
I don't know, I think maybe it just depends on the people. Like, for me, maybe there might be an age to where I don't want to see any of that. I don't know.
Yeah,
I've been single for I've been single purposefully for 5 years. So I don't see anybody's anything.
Tally Hassan.
I don't want I don't see it. I don't see nobody's tallywags.
Tallywackers. I haven't dated in years either. Like, it had to be over 3 years, almost 4 years.
I decided to cut it off because I wanted something more real. So I wanted to get to know me and get me to the point that I feel comfortable with myself completely, so that I know what I deserve and get what I deserve. So that's why I was like, I'm done with playing these games with these people.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying.
Wasting my time.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so sometimes, like, it just, like, it can add excitement and joy and things like that. Because what I'm noticing a lot sometimes is that I have a lot of masculine energy. Mm-hmm. And when I say masculine energy, I mean in the state of, like, I'm straight to, here's this, here's what this is. Like, it's not really, like, a lot of that flirtatious kind of, like, I don't have that lingo in me to play around with people, should I say. So, like, that's why I said sex thing can be fun and exciting once you know yourself and kind of can add that little spark or spice, because a lot of people are missing that element.
Yeah,
they're missing that element if they have too much masculine energy. And that is something that might take them out of that space a little bit and give them a chance to be a little bit more feminine. So yeah, I like that rule. And I like that conversation. That's what I was saying. Like, actually, one of my scenes in Complicated started off with a sex text message. And that's how I got to somebody's man.
Okay.
So, like, sex thing can definitely lead to certain things, and then you find out that they got a girlfriend or a wife, and you're like, we were just trying to have a good time.
Like, I had no idea.
I had no idea, because sex thing can get real quick. That's why you gotta set the tone. Like, what are your intentions? Are we having a good time? Like, you need to set your intentions on why I'm talking to this man or this female in this manner.
I heard that, like, Halle Berry, her current person that she's with, that she seems to be very happy with, when they got together, when they were dating or whatever, they didn't ever meet for like 3 months. They only talked and wrote letters.
That's cute.
And what Sherry Shepherd was saying about it, she was like, normal people can't do that stuff. Like, you can do that if you're Halle Berry, because otherwise you're probably getting catfished. If a guy is like, I don't want to meet you in person, but we can write letters to each other and I will text you every day and we're not FaceTiming or anything, like, then it's like, are you a real person?
That's kind of weird. Like, that's definitely strange. And it's like, I want to put your face to your messages and your words. So I need to see you. And I don't need to see your Instagram or your Facebook. I need to see you.
Mm-hmm. Have you tried that online dating before? No. You scared?
Yes. I had my friends catfish me before. Like, I trust not near nobody.
What?
I had my friends. I had a girl that, okay, sorry to all the praying people. I don't mean to say this, but this is why sometimes Christianity gets looked at in the way that it gets looked at. So I have a friend, well, I had a friend who was like my accountability person for my faith. So, like, we would always pray together. And, like, when my life would just seem like it would go crazy, the first thing she'll say to me is, like, let's go to God, come on. And she'll pray and she'll invite me to church and blah, 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 blah. We were having, you know, she was just one of those type of friends. And I have a big, big heart for people with special needs and disabilities, because I feel like people overlook them because of their disabilities and they don't want to help them, right? Mm-hmm. It's almost like the weird kid. No one speaks to them. Like, you know, the kid that likes all your Instagram pictures, like, ugh, he's just such a creep because no one's ever going to really date him kind of person.
Yeah.
He gave me a casting call and I went, and it turned my life up. and I went, and then I wound up going to acting classes, and then that's why my life kind of transitioned as well, because it's always those people that kind of like, people don't treat right because they have special needs and disabilities. So her brother had a disability, autism and Asperger's, so he did not communicate well with people. Mm-hmm. So he wanted to go to school to be a physician assistant. So she's like, I don't know how to get someone to help him because he won't talk to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, that is, you know, a major part of autism. So I say, you know what, I'll just text him and I'll help him. And if he needs help, I know he'll know that he can just send me a text message and I will write him back and I'll help him. So now I'm writing him and I'm sending him all these, you know, he's going back and forth like, I thank you so much. I got to send you out. I have to take you out to lunch and all this other stuff. And don't worry about it. He graduates. He sends me the pictures. He like thanks me and blah, blah, blah. And mind you, the whole time she texts me like, my brother is doing so good talking to you. I didn't need to see his face because I was just literally helping him. Come to find out it's her the whole time.
What?
Just to have, I don't, yeah. What's her point? I don't know.
Does she really have a brother?
No, the boy, the guy that she was sending me a picture of was a football player, professional football player.
So she didn't even have a brother? But she was already talking to you as a friend. What was the point of that? Did she tell you what the point was? Why she did it? Was the brother flirting with you? Like, was she trying to date you through the brother? Like, what was happening with that?
I don't know. But clearly, like, she was having, like, she was talking to me through, like, she was the brother. And then, like, when she was like, my brother is so happy. Like, he's doing so good. My family and I couldn't thank you enough. The whole time, it was her.
That is one of the most bizarre things I've ever heard. So unnecessary. Because it's like, she was already talking to you. So what you need to talk to me twice for? That's so weird. I am perplexed.
So, like, online dating and conversating with people, I've seen the mental state of certain people, and I'm like, yeah, it's an, oh, hold on, I'm sorry, I don't know what happened. I'm sorry, one second. Okay, there we go. It's a no for me online. I have to meet you. I have to at least have a conversation, like meet you as a person offline, because I'm traumatized.
That is the weirdest story I've heard. And again, I watch a lot of Lifetime movies, and I'm still like, I'm just that's so weird. I have a nephew who's autistic, and I'd like to think that he will get to do all the things he wants to do in life, but I don't think I'm going to pretend to text somebody else pretending to be my nephew. That is bizarre. Thank you so much for sharing that very weird story. You made my day, because
it was just so awkward. And I was like, yeah, so this is a no for me. Any type of I don't see your face and you want to have conversations with me is an absolute no.
Did you ever see her again?
Yeah, we work together.
You work right now?
We worked together. We worked together.
So you had to go to work and look at her?
Yes. And then to come to find out, she did this to multiple people before. Like, this, I'm not the first offense.
Okay, so she's got something she needs to go get checked on.
Yeah, probably. But you know what? I forgave her, and you know, I just try to like still treat people like. She wrote me happy birthday on Facebook, and I just put thank you. Like, I just can't see myself treating people crazy because they treated me like that. I just acknowledge that there's something clearly wrong, and I would treat, if I treat her like everyone else treats her, how beneficial or helpful is that to her mental health even more?
See how you're better than me? Because I would immediately have blocked her. I would have blocked her.
I mean, I did.
Blocked her number. And
I blocked her number for sure. And the brother.
I was like, right, that is so weird. That is the strangest thing I've ever heard. That sounds like a whole movie that you need to write and then give to a Lifetime, because I swear I'll watch it. I swear I will. Mm-hmm. My imaginary brother or something.
It was like catfished, literally.
I catfished my friend Oh my God. See how the movie, you just wrote the movie, and the movie wrote itself. And then you know people at Lifetime. So
I should definitely write this story.
I'm gonna watch it. And you could produce it too, because you are a producer. And then you could show up in it because you're an actress. Girl, look at you. Writer, producer, actress. Okay. Then you can hop behind that camera and direct it too. Who's to say you can't? That is crazy. That is crazy. Well, I have had the absolute most fun talking to you today.
Yes, me too. I enjoyed it a lot.
Thank you. I didn't get to connect with you that much. And, you know, when we did our class, because we were only together for, you know, a few Thursdays, Tuesdays, or whatever it was. And we're trying to be focused
right
on those acting exercises that I just could not get.
Theophile's thistles.
I couldn't do it. I was like, in person, I probably would do a lot worse too. Because I'm very shy, and I don't like looking stupid. And I feel like I
would. No, don't stupid. Ever think you look stupid, though, to be honest, because what the stupid looking stupid?
No. I just been feeling stupid.
Somebody defined what looking stupid means and who came up with it. I don't pay attention to what nobody said, because guess what? Who decides what is what?
Well, now the internet does. which is why there's only,
because you got people who supposedly look stupid, like young BBQ, for example. Her dancing is not what people consider dancing, but look where she's at.
You got a point.
It's whoever's defining these things, you know. Only thing is, she's defining it for herself, so she's opening doors for herself because she's defining it. Okay. So I'm gonna come up in class looking stupid all I want, but I wouldn't care.
And that's why you where you are. That's why you are where you are.
Define your own stupid.
Think I beat.
That's like, then have fun with it. Enjoy it. Because the stupid things that's what opens doors for you.
Do some stupid stuff.
I wind up writing this little this catfish story, and she'll get rich.
You better write it. You better write it down. She can have her little check. No, I mean, because it's your story now. We're not gonna use any of her names. You can even change what the brother does. He doesn't have to.
I know. I'm just saying. She'll probably be like, "That's my real story. She took my story."
But see, she feels stupid, and then she'll be like, I'm not going to tell anybody that was me.
Right.
That might be her moment where she's like.
But yeah, back to what I was saying too about your question. Do a little sexing, okay? Just a little bit. Just a little, just for yourself. Like, ooh, I could talk crazy.
Oh, I can. That's the problem. I guess.
Just challenge yourself.
Next time I decide to date somebody or something, which I don't know when that will be.
But then you gotta have to back it up, because you can't be talking crazy and then don't back it up.
I gotta back it up too. I gotta put my money where my mouth is. I
gotta put your money where your mouth is. It's like, that's not what you said on text message.
So don't be too creative if you can't do it, huh?
Yeah.
Just okay.
Be mindful of your craftiness.
Be mindful of your sexting. That's the lesson we learned today. So we learned to get out of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. We learned to not catfish people. We learned to, if you're going to sex, be able to back it up. If you're going to sext, let's say that right, sext. So we can hear that T. Mm-hmm. If you're going to sext, be able to back it up. And
set boundaries for it.
Set boundaries.
Ask for consent always.
Ask for consent. And don't be afraid to look stupid, because stupid makes you money. So we're saying, boom. Okay, that's what we learned from
all of that,
Professor Chalet. Well, I hope I get to talk to you again soon, especially before you're famous. I don't have to pay for it.
I will always talk to you.
Well, tell us where always. We can find you on the internet.
@ Chalet Monique. On Instagram, ChaletMonique.com, Twitter at Shalay Monique, Facebook at Shalay Monique, and Google me.
Yes, Google. That, see, that is a powerful phrase. That's what I had to teach teach my friend Shamaya some years ago. She'd be like, people don't realize who I am. I said, tell them to Google me, bitch. Google me.
Google me.
Before you come at me, Google me.
Google me. it's just fun because you're setting the tone that you want for yourself, you know. You're not giving anyone else a way to create you. You're creating yourself by the things you're doing. So no one can tell your story better than you do. So it's just fun to see Google highlighting things you do. So now this is who I created. This is my footprint.
Yes, look at you, legacy builder, queen, actress, director, producer, mother.
But I can't wait to talk to you soon again. You're awesome, yes. Sauce.
It was good to talk to you.
Thank
you for coming. I'm going to put all your information on my website, www.abiggirlsguide.com. Of course, this will be on YouTube and Spotify and iHeartRadio and wherever else you can find podcasts. So,
all right.
Thank you, Shalay.
You're welcome. Can you stop recording? Yeah.